Now, let's start with you, yeah, I've got the microphone. Okay.
So everybody understands everything completely. They get up here and teach it.
That's right. So B stands for Babu, if you're wondering what that's about. Grandfather name. Any questions other than where God come from? Okay, that's it. We can go. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so my husband and I were talking the other day about grief.
Uh-huh.
And how, because we lost a son who was an adult. Okay. And God was really there and ministered to me. And I have a friend who lost a son. And she's just as, she's not wallowing in her grief. Well, maybe she's wallowing a little. She hasn't recovered. She hasn't, you know. And so we were just had this conversation. What makes the, why can one of us who's a believer accept and go on and trust and just, you know, I miss my son, but I'm not, I mean, I'm not in despair because of it.
Right.
You know? And so I just wondered. I mean, the Jesus, and so I was thinking about, our conversation was like one night this week, and then I was thinking this morning, maybe it has to do with the Jesus in me. I don't know. Does Jesus do grief? Well, he wept when Lazarus died, yeah. But...
I think that, because all of us know what grief is like. This has been, this last few months has been one of the saddest months I think Selma's ever experienced. Certainly for the Talier family, and then for... Christ the King. It's been, you know, extremely sad to what Caden. Now the thing, one of the things I've reminded people of is that, because I'll hear every once in a while, like, why did God let Caden die? God didn't let Caden die. God called Caden home. That's a different worldview. And C.S. Lewis said that if you aim for heaven, earth gets thrown in. But if you aim for earth, you lose both. And so in, again, I mentioned this yesterday. Paul said that he sorrowed, yet he was always rejoicing. There is a place, grief is real. You see sackcloth and ashes in Scripture when times when people grieved. But there's a difference between grieving in Christ and grieving the way the world grieves. And so we've let secular psychology dictate to us what truth is. And we can't do that. We can't outsource truth to the world. And the world can't speak to us what truth is. Christ is the truth about everything. And so even when I suffer a loss, that doesn't change the truth about who he is and who he is in me. And so I'm not trying to deal with this on my own. I'm dealing with it from Christ, through Christ. Paul said, he said, I can do all things in Christ or through Christ who strengthens me. All things means all things. And the verse before that, he says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. That either says that or it doesn't say that. It actually does say that. And so I think that, and he says things like, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so all those things really should be part of the narrative of what biblical or Christian grieving is. And we, you know, we're, so for some people, just going to this one question, too long, but everybody has a different personality. Everybody's relationship, who are Christians, relationship with Christ is different. I know sometimes we'll say in our culture, this happens particularly with women, that if they're married and their husband dies, it's like they don't know what to do with life because that their husband was their whole life, their identity, which is not a very healthy thing either way. But as Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So every personality is different, but Jesus isn't different. And he's the same. And he doesn't, everybody's got different personality. There's no independent self. There's an individual self that's in union with Christ. And there are individual characteristics of who we are. But Christ is the same. And we're saved, it says, in his life. In his life, we're saved. And so we can go through, we can have sorrow, genuine sorrow, and yet not despair, not have hopelessness. God's the God of hope, it says in Romans 15:13. He's the God of hope, and that never changes. That's the truth. And the truth sets me free. The truth keeps me free. You know, when an example would be when Jimmy died, my brother, that was a surprise to us. We didn't know he was going to get COVID. And then when he went in, he was put on a ventilator the first day after he went in and never recovered. 2 weeks later, he died. And we didn't know that Livia had terminal cancer. We just thought she was still recovering from the major surgery she had had the year before. They told us it could take as long as a year. And so Livia has to go to the hospital, and she's in the hospital. This time of year is very, very vivid for me because it all happened this time of year, kind of. And Jimmy died on a Sunday, and at the hospital on Tuesday, they came in and told us that Livia only had a few weeks to live. And so the next day was the 10th, and or next day, whatever day it was Wednesday, I came home and buried Jimmy, took Livia home the next day from the hospital, and on the 23rd of December, she died. Those were profoundly sad things. And there are times I miss Olivia every day. I miss my brother. And there are times I cry about that. But it's not depression. Jesus doesn't do depression. Jesus doesn't do hopelessness. I know that sounds simplistic, but it's true. That's why I keep saying, I don't look for answers anymore. I look for the truth. And Jesus is, because he's the answer. And so I want to know, what's the truth about Jesus in every situation? And nothing about all those things changed the truth about who Christ was and who Christ was in me. And so I could do sadness. It was okay to grieve. It was okay to weep and have days of crying. It's okay for me to, you know, this time of year, particularly I'll think about it and I'll be sad. My heart will be sad. I'll can cry. But there was like this thing inside of me down in there, like this little bitty person in there, like it's going, yippee, yahoo, because there's just this Jesus thing, this joy thing that happens. And so, you know, we abide in him and grieve, and he keeps us from the darkness. We do it in union with him, and he keeps us from the darkness. Because in him, there's no darkness at all. In him, there's no darkness at all. So you can grieve without walking in darkness. That makes sense. I was thinking the other day, Mary, I can't believe it's almost 4 years. I mean, life is tenacious. It just goes on. And this December 23rd, Olivia died 4 years ago. Like, wow. But she's fully alive. She's praying for me, praying for us, praying for this weekend, as is Caden and Meg and Jimmy. And we have a lot of the church victorious that's gone before us, praying for us that we'll abide in Christ and that we'll, you know, okay, that, hope that helps. Any more questions? Yeah. I'm intimidating. I'm so very intimidating. You did. You were an amazing job, TC. Should be encouraged. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. That's that. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't let go. Oh, there's seasons I don't do that in you. That's the truth. It is true. So it's not a personality type. Yes, who?
Me.
Yes, ma'am.
So I have a question about forgiveness.
Okay.
Does it always come with reconciliation if you are in Christ?
No. You know, the scripture says, as much as is possible to you, be at peace with all men. And I think when I talk about forgiveness, let me read this real quick scripture. This is from Colossians, to kind of give you a timeline about forgiveness. This is in Colossians chapter 2. talking about the finished work of Christ at the cross. He says, and when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. That happened in his resurrection. And before it talks about the cross resurrection. Made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us that was hostile against us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So when he says, having forgiven us of all our transgressions, when did that happen? It happened at the cross 2,000 years ago. And so when I, one day, I was in a situation, because you can, again, read those things like, here are the 5 steps to forgiveness. The problem is, if it's all steps to forgiveness, you got to memorize those steps, and then Christianity becomes something you memorize. And so every next time somebody does something, or that person says something again, or doesn't do something they should be doing, hurt you again, kind of ignore you, whatever, reject you, all this stuff comes roaring back. You haven't got to work your way back into forgiveness. So there was a situation going on, and I said, Lord, I'm not sure what to do. And he said to me, well, I forgave that person 2,000 years ago. Would you like to join me? And I realized that he'd already made that decision for us. And that may sound simplistic, but if Christ is my life, and I'm serious about this thing, about Jesus living through me, this is how it works. That's his story. Jesus doesn't walk in unforgiveness. So I knew he wasn't just saying, I forgave them 2,000 years ago. He literally said, would you like to join me? And of course, he's inviting me to abide in him and to participate in his story. And I just said, well, it was like life-changing. I thought, well, of course, Lord, we've already made the decision. You've already made that decision for me 2,000 years ago. And I just sunk into that and said, thank you. And I've never had a second of unforgiveness towards him since then. Because it's Christ. I'm walking in his capacity. But it doesn't, but he wasn't saying that. I've heard people say that you don't have to forgive someone unless they make it right. Is that what happened at the cross? When Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing? That was without any expectation that anybody was going to change. And so what does it mean, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing? Jesus was saying, Lord, they're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. And that's true. People who do things to hurt you, they do it out of their brokenness. And so, so what's happened to me over the years, when people do that to me, it just makes me love them more. Because I don't see what they're doing to me, I just see the brokenness. I don't get offended with them, I get offended for them. I don't get hurt with them, I get hurt for them. There's a difference. One's glorious liberty, okay? But the thing that's really cool is by your stripes, they get healed too. And so if you walk in forgiveness and you love them even more, the very fact that they're striping you and you're just loving them more can cause them to finally come to a place of surrender and recognize their own junk. And by your stripes, they're getting healed.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. I'm used to everybody hearing me without a mic, but anyway. So I was saying that in Kairos, our chaplain always liked to have the last teaching. And it would be different every time, but this is my favorite one. He said to the guys, just don't be annoyed. And he gave the example. These guys live in a building built for 40 prisoners, and there's 79 in there, so it's pretty tight. And often there would be fights because someone would walk by a bunk and kick the locker underneath. And he said, well, just don't be annoyed. Then you don't have to forgive them. So I always thought that was very, very, very practical. And it's along the same lines as what you were saying, except a very practical thing. Just don't be annoyed. For whatever reason, you can have Jesus help.
Yeah, Jesus doesn't get annoyed with people. He doesn't get impatient with people. He gets disappointed for people, because he died for them to have, for freedom's sake, Christ set us free. And for people who don't walk in that, it breaks his heart. And, so I'm so grateful the way he's communicated to me these last few years, because it's given me new language to share some old things. But yeah, he just doesn't walk in unforgiveness. But, and the fact, I was in a situation one time not long ago, and I walked out of a room full of people I won't tell the whole story, but when I left to go outside, one of the persons in the family came out with me, and they were hurt. They'd gotten into some conflict with another member of the family. And I'm going, I'm so sorry. And they said, well, they had bad things to say about you too. it's always grateful when Christians tell you those things. And, and immediately, instead of being offended, I realized that came out of their brokenness. And I said, well, that just makes me love them more, because I'm so sorry for them. That's an awful way to live. I've done that before, haven't you? What an awful way to live. So Jesus has compassion. He was tempted to do that. He was tempted in every way. So he understands. He doesn't condone, because he hates sin and what sin does. Sin's a thief. And okay, what else? That help, Natalie? Yeah. Just keep loving them until that maybe they'll be healed by your stripes. Yes, Sir John? Father John from San Antonio.
So you've got some great stories, and the Lord talks to you. And so the normal everyday Christian person that struggles with bitterness and sins and anger and so forth, is the Lord speaking and they don't listen? You know, is the Lord, is that, because that voice that you hear, because you're very sensitive to the Lord's voice, mm-hmm. is he still speaking and we're still just learning how to hear
for
him?
For sure. We're hardwired. He said his sheep hear his voice. And so we're hardwired to hear his voice. You know, I think one of the reasons that he speaks the way he speaks so I can articulate, so I can help teach. But if we abide in him and his words abide in us. And so, but the deal is that if for so many Christians, there are a lot of Christians trying to decide whether or not they're going to be fully yielded. You know, am I going to die to self? Well, you know what? Jesus checked that box a long time ago. That old self was crucified with Christ. It's like, that's what we signed up for. That's what we were baptized into. And, but if people want their own story and hope that Jesus will bless it, it just doesn't work out well. And so often it takes, you know, us coming to a place where we realize that doing, having our own story apart from him is a horrible way to live. And so the yielded heart, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. You will keep my commandments. And I think that you can't keep them if he doesn't reveal them. And it can't just be because it's in the book. I'm grateful for the book. It makes it easier, right? But golly, how many of you have been to Africa? There are so many people we minister to over there that can't read or write and yet walk in the Spirit. How's that possible? Because they have a tour guide that lives inside of them called the Holy Spirit, who promised that he would lead us into all truth and he would reveal to us all that belongs to Christ. And so I think sometimes people have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and realize that demanding their way has never worked out well. There is a way of life. The people, Christians were referred to as people of the way many times in Acts. And we've all done it, and it's not very smart. You don't have to do it. But I think that everybody, he speaks in a still small voice. Everybody knows, you know. I like what TC said, though. I mean, there are sins that can have horrible consequences. You go rob a bank, there's a horrible consequences for it, but doesn't change the fact that God loves you and he doesn't stop. He believes in you. You have to understand, you're not Jesus, but you're one with him. And Jesus is what God believes about you, that you have the capacity to experience all that Jesus is and all that he has, to participate in his life fully. And so he's always calling that forth, you know? He's always calling that forth. And in John 16, the scripture says that he convicts the world of sin, but he convicts us of righteousness. And so God doesn't pound us. He calls you forth. We're convicted. We go, look, this is, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. This is yucky. And oh, yeah, it is yucky. And there's genuine sorrow because this is dumb. It's yucky. And it can hurt people. But he is always calling forth the new creation. Always. You know? Yeah.
Bishop. A lot of what you're talking about, the glorious freedom, you know, when you share your stories, is hearing from the Lord and how you hear right. from the Lord. And there's some people that struggle and say, well, I just don't hear from the Lord. You know, I know we say we're hardwired for that, but like, what do you say to someone who goes, I just don't hear from the Lord? I hear your stories, I hear this, but I don't hear from the Lord.
So I would say, what do you know about Jesus on a personal level? Then start listening for that. And as you respond, you'll begin to hear more. Does that make sense to you? What do you know about Jesus? Well, I mean, I know he doesn't do this and doesn't do that. Okay. Then start listening for that. Because he'll start speaking to you like, we don't do anger like that. You know, we don't talk bad about people, huh? Yeah, sure. And but if you want to walk this out, there's no way in the world that you won't. You can't. Jesus makes it easy, not hard. It's not like going warmer, warmer, no, colder, colder. He wants his sheep hear his voice. And again, we're called sheep, not spiritual rocket scientists. He makes it as simple as he possibly can. He said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot explore the kingdom of heaven. And so I would say that, what do you know about Jesus? So start there. And as you do, and say, Lord, I'm going to give attention to what I know about you. Whatever that is. And as you do, you're going to hear the still small voice going, I don't do this, or this is what I do here. And I'm just telling you, all you have to do is respond once, and then all of a sudden that little stream becomes a river of just Jesus revealing himself in you. That's what Paul said, that Christ will be formed in you. See, that's what it is, that every time you say yes, every time you repent, think with him, then Christ has formed in you. You become a little more Christ-like, experientially. You know? I know that sounds simplistic, but it's really the truth. What do you know about Jesus? Then pay attention to that. Yeah, Ron? Ron always loved this part.
Back in the 70s, dealing with a bunch of hippies like I was, and alcoholics and stuff, I had to get really simple with people. And one of the things that I would just tell people is like, if you want to know the truth, all you've got to do is ask and then be open to it.
Amen.
And it's the same with hearing from God. I know for me, God will speak something, and then I won't hear from God for a long time, and it's because I ignored what he said. You know, and I ignored doing the simple thing that I was asked to do, or I wanted to hear something else, like dealing with my parents as a kid, you know, like it's in one ear and out the other ear, because I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear this. And sometimes my relationship with God's been that way. It's like I know deep inside that he's trying to tell me something, but I don't really want to hear what he's telling me.
Right.
And it makes it very difficult to get past that point there. Because you may get past it a little ways, but you're going to come back to it, you know, because it's just a part of his process of growing us into that.
Amen. Like if I were to say to any one of you, say, look, I would like for you to stand up and share something for a few minutes. Just teach us something. You're like, well, I don't know what that would say. Then my question would be, has Jesus ever done anything in your life? And if you go, well, yeah, well, then tell that. Well, then you know something about Jesus. And so just start paying attention because he speaks in you. And the other thing, this is a gift. The written word is a gift for those who have that. And so you hang out here and you discover some things about Jesus, and or like discovering something like we talked about this morning when Paul said in Philippians 2, you know, do all things without murmuring or complaining. What? So now you can, that's going to be now added to who you are. It becomes, and as you participate, as you cooperate, as you surrender, and that it becomes part of your spiritual DNA. You know, it just begins to be, it starts to become automatic. Like it gets become automatic pilot. You just, and if it's an area of stubborn, some place of stubborn sin, and maybe you've repented and kind of broke through 100 different times. You know, TC talked about that with her temper, 1,000 different times. But every time you break through, you go deeper in until finally you realize that you've put a lot of distance between you and the last time you did that. What? Yes, sir?
So are you saying that every Christian should be able to hear his voice like you're hearing his voice?
Yes. But, I mean, I didn't hear it. Yes. Yes. Same, yeah. You're hardwired for it. And so one of the things it says he promised he'd lead you into all truth. Maybe you start every morning waking up going, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, you're going to lead me into all truth. You said you would. And so the Christian life works by faith. So what I've discovered is what people, we use this phrase a lot, that you only the expectant give birth to anything. So if you expect, you're going to find that it gets birthed in you. And, you know, you learn. I've ignored his voice before, and it never worked out well. And that's a hard way to learn, but, you know, it's a fast way, too. I told this one time we used to go RVing when I was younger. And we would park right on the water, on the beach, because Olivia wanted to be able to see the ocean, and she didn't want to park somewhere off the beach and have to walk. But on the beach, they don't have any sewage underneath. You know, like in an RV park, there's always a sewage tank, like a septic tank under where you're trailers are, but on the beach, they won't do that, won't dig underneath there. So we had to carry our own portable pooper. And a portable pooper is like this blue plastic thing that you put attached to, like you're hauling on your truck. And after a number of days, it gets filled up with stuff. You go haul and they'll call their dump station, you empty it. So we were on a vacation for like a couple of weeks. One of the things I learned early on was I limited how many times I went to the bathroom in the trailer. I'd walk up to the little, because I did not want to empty that thing anymore than I needed to. And so one day it was time to empty it. It had been like 10 or 11 days and I had to empty it. And so your trailer's like parked like this, and there are other trailers parked like this, and they have their little awning out, you know, and then they're all parked like that. So here's where the sewage is on this side, right in front of their carpet grass. So there's these two old people, and they're sitting out on their, drinking lemonade, awning out on their carpet grass. I'm got this tube, and there's all kinds of yuck coming out of that tube into this portable pooper, and the tube's got little leaks in it. It's like 95 degrees. I've got gloves on. It's awful. Those poor people eventually, I don't know what happened to them. They left. And so the Lord said to me, he said, this is what the ministry is like. It's hauling off other people's crap, but just don't add your own to it, Chucky, because it makes it a lot harder. And I've done that before. And I've learned over the years, it's much better to live his story and not ignore the voice. But you know what? He makes room for that. We all learn that way at some level, don't we? What else? Great questions. I don't know if the answers are good, but I'm doing the best he can. So that's all I can do. No more? Okay. Well, love you so much. And we'll do the question thing again tomorrow in case you have some stuff in light of, I mean, I may raise all kind of questions, like maybe, are you sure that's not some kind of heresy that you just said last night? But tonight's going to be fun, and I want to, but I'm so grateful that you're here. Love you so much. And my favorite, this particular group, not this morning, is my favorite group ever. So in case you were wondering, there you go. Okay. Well, have a good night. Good night. Not good night. Have a good nap, and hopefully see you again tonight and go get some rest. And that's what I'm going to do. Okay.